Turn with me to chapter 21, and let's just read this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, the whoremongers and sorcerers, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Lord, I pray now that you just come to us and speak to us through your word this morning. Help us to be encouraged as we look at what lays ahead. Help us to not be discouraged by the wickedness of this world, but may we realize that you are the God who is in control, and you are the God who is there to deliver upon your word. You truly are true and faithful, and will be there to deliver as you have said. Lord, speak to us now through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we began to look at the purpose for Jesus coming, and part of that was that the new heavens and new earth could be created, and that there would be that we would be able to go and to spend eternity with him. This morning I want to continue to look at chapter 21, and I want us to look at some specific things that the Lord tells us here. First of all, we're living in a world today that is not at all like what God has promised us it's going to be. The new heavens and the new earth, as we read this morning, is going to be, he's going to, as it says here, that he's going to dwell with us. In verse 4, he says he's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We're existing in the former things right now. That is where we're living. We're living in with pain and death, with tears and sorrow. And you see it all around the world today. And we're also living with the full impact of sin. And this morning I want us to jump ahead to verse 8. And I want you to see the people that will not be in the new heavens and the new earth. And then I want us to look at the characteristics that these people possess, and the things that they're involved in, and the sin that manifests in their life. And I want you to understand that this is what is the motivation of the world spirit around us, and then why we as Christians should never fear, and we as Christians should not get caught up in these things. Now, it's interesting what's happened in the last 2 years. And to be honest with you, the planning by really Satan has been much longer than that for all of these things to come into fruition of attempting to bring about this one world government, a one world economy, a one world religion, and really the worship of the demonic and motivated and driven by fear. It's interesting as you look at what John is told by the Lord will not be in the new heavens and the new earth. He lists these things, and I want to just take them one at a time. And he says, but the fearful and unbelieving. But the fearful and unbelieving. It's interesting, again, this morning we were studying in Sunday school about Isaac, and one of the things that caused Isaac to sin was fear. And it was brought up in the class that we can't allow fear to be the motivator of our life, because it'll cause us to do things that we shouldn't do. I want you to understand, Satan is one who wants to drive you to fear all kinds of things. I have someone that I know that is so afraid of dying and so afraid of catching COVID that it has destroyed their whole life. It's caused them to do things that they would never do. It's caused them to not have relationships with their own family. It causes them not to be able to get together. It causes all kinds of things because they're driven by fear. Fear. We're to be driven by trust and hope in Jesus Christ, not by fear. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to set the captive free. And He also came to remove fear from our life and to give us courage and boldness to stand against the wickedness of this world. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians has told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we wrestle against the demonic and against Satan himself and against wickedness in high places, is what he put it. And that's high places both in this world and in the demonic realm. And that's who we're really wrestling against. And how do I wrestle against everything that's going on in our world today, where you have really wicked and evil people that are trying to take control and they want to manage every person in the world and bring them into submission to really do what they want to do when they want them to do it, as well as really behind it all is Satan bringing them into worshiping Him. How do we stand against that? Well, one of the things that we need to understand is that you and I aren't to fear. We are not to be fearful. Fear causes us to sin. Because when you fear, you're number one, you're not trusting in God. Number two, you're not believing in God. Number three, you don't believe in God's Word and what He says. Do you really believe that the Bible is true, that God has given to us salvation through Christ? He's given to us His Holy Spirit. He's given to us things that we are to accomplish in this world for His sake and for His glory, even in the midst of all the wickedness that's going on, that you have been still left here and placed here for specific reasons. There are people that will attest to the fact that in the midst of this spirit of fear that's penetrating the world, because of those who are believers in Christ, and have been a witness and testimony, there have been people that have been delivered from their fear and come to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to understand this. This is a real spiritual battle. And at the heart of it are the souls of men. And we are not to be a fearful people, because fear is one of the traits of those men and women that do not trust God, that do not believe in God, and do not believe that God will deliver him or her from their situation as He said He would. The second thing He says is that unbelieving. Unbelieving is, notice that they're tied together, fear and unbelieving. If you're an unbeliever, you're going to be filled with fear of one kind or another. And so the first thing is to believe in Jesus Christ. Now the Lord came, and He came to set us free, as I mentioned earlier. And He came and went to the cross that you and I could be set free from having the world oppression coming upon us. Those who have been with us on Wednesday nights, we've been going through the book of Acts. And one of the amazing things is to see the transformation in the life of the apostles and disciples as it occurs in the book of Acts from before Jesus was crucified till after He was crucified and rose again from the dead. Before He was crucified, guess what? Was the main motivating factor in Peter's life? Fear. He feared that it was going to happen to them. The other disciples, when after Jesus was crucified, they gathered together in the upper room and they were waiting and thought that the Roman soldiers and the temple guard would be coming to drag them away and cast them into prison, and they were in great fear. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And he denied him to a handmaid on one occasion, a young girl, because he was fearful. What are they going to do this to me too? And the amazing thing is, you look at the book of Acts, after Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and they saw and were commissioned by the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel, they did it. And they did it without fear. And not only that, they confronted a world system that is no different than the system that's in the world today. It just manifested itself in the form of the Sadducees and the high priests in Jerusalem at the time of Peter. But it was an anti-Christ system that was against Jesus and wanted to stomp out any word of the name of Jesus. And they stood and proclaimed, "You can't prevent us from speaking what we've been told to share." And they were amazed at their boldness. These ones who had been fishermen and so afraid. What was the difference? The difference was the power of Jesus Christ in their life. And what it did was transform them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And they stood to preach the gospel and to live for the gospel. The Apostle Paul, I was reading about a rabbi this last week, who was talking, and he was so angry because of Paul. He said, "Paul is the whole reason that the Christianity is going on, because Paul preached and didn't and left his Judaism behind." And this rabbi would do anything to tear out and destroy all the writings of Paul. Well, what happened to Paul? Paul was of the spirit of this world, seeking to destroy Jesus, but Jesus transformed Paul and made him a man that was not motivated by fear at all, but stood in great courage and boldness, and was imprisoned in Rome on 2 occasions, thrown in jail in various cities on other occasions, beaten, scourged, driven from cities, mocked and humiliated, but he never stopped preaching. And all he would have had to do to have none of that happen would be to go back and become a rabbi of Judaism. And they would have left him alone. But he didn't. Why? Because Jesus had transformed him and he became a man of boldness and courage, and was willing to stand even against the face of death. And even when his death came and he died a martyr's death, he was not afraid. Fear is one of the things that will mark those who reject Jesus in unbelief. The next thing is that they are doing that which is abominable. What does abominable mean? It means absolutely horrendous and something that God absolutely hates. And that is marking those that should be cast into the lake of fire. Their lives are marked by that which is abominable. You stop and look at what people are doing today and what they'll trust in. What's an abomination to the Lord? Well, in order to understand what's abominations, you need to look at the Bible. Go back into the Old Testament and you can see what's abominable to the Lord with the nation of Israel. What made him angry to the Lord that he brought judgment on Israel? It's when they begin to worship other gods. It's when they begin to put their trust in everything but God, the true and the living God. It's when they rejected his fellowship and embraced a world system that was leading to death and was marked by death. If you look at what's happening in our world today, it's marked by death. Abortion. Pray that the abortion laws will be turned over in America. But in the meantime, we've killed, I've heard, it's into the millions upon millions of babies since abortion was legalized. But not only that, now they're killing babies after they're born, and they're born alive, and they give the mothers a certain amount of time to choose whether they want the child put to death or if she wants to keep it. Infanticide. They're killing old people who are viewed as not worthy. And part of all this whole agenda that you're seeing now is to bring about a marking of individuals. Are you worthy to society or not worthy to society? They're abominations to God. And behind it all is, if you look and talk to these people, they do not desire to worship or even know the true and the living God. And they want the name of Jesus stamped out. It's interesting. People will say God, but they mean a different God, a God of their own making. And the world itself does not want the name of Jesus even spoken. Much like that rabbi who was so angry at Paul because he promoted Jesus. It's abominations to the Lord. And the sad thing is, you're seeing people that will trade their souls for careers, trade their souls for fame and fortune, trade their souls for material wealth. That's an abomination to God. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire unless they give their hearts to Christ. Murderers. You know, it's interesting. Much has been said about the vaccines, and you can do your own study. I've done a lot of studying. These vaccines, I believe the real bioweapon in this whole war that's going on is the vaccines. And they're designed to kill people. Because the people that are behind them are murderers. They do not like life. Why would you give vaccines to infants, to babies, to 5-year-olds, to 11-year-olds? Now they're saying it, that in some states they're making that mandatory that kids have to be vaccinated to go to school, 5 to 11, because the CDC says it's okay now. Yet, when you look at what happens, if you would catch this man-generated virus as a young person, your chances of death are so minute that it's almost, you can't even hardly calculate what they are. I think there was 150 young children of the millions that had the disease that actually died from it. 100 times the death rate is going to occur in children that get the vaccine. And this is to save lives? Not only that, they're finding all kinds of things that are happening that these people have engineered. And if you say things about it, you're viewed as some type of a conspiracy theorist and crackpot. But yet you've got some of the smartest men in the world speaking against it and calling it a means by which they can control population. And that was their whole agenda. If you look at the history of those, some of those that have promoted and developed what's going on in our world right now, they've been involved in eugenics for a long time. What eugenics is I'm going to control the population. That's what Hitler did in World War II. He had his Übermann, his Normalmann, and his Untermann. The ones that were the overmen were viewed as those that were the elite, those that were worthy of life, those that were the ones that could control the destiny of the whole world, and those were the ones that would tell you what you should do and what you should have and when you should have it. The normal people were to be the servants of the elite. And the under people were not worthy to live at all. They were the Jews, the gypsies, the Christians, those that had physical or mental disabilities, and anyone else that the overlords viewed was a drain on society. And they went to the camps, murdered. Murderers. Who inspired it? If you look at the history of World War II, Hitler was inspired by Satan. They would have meetings, occultic meetings, where spirits would speak to them and tell them what to do. Same thing is happening today. Some of these people have ties to Planned Parenthood and other death organizations. Murderers. Do you have to fear murderers? The believer in Jesus Christ is going to the new heavens and new earth. The murderers are going to the lake of fire. And the only way they won't is if they confess their sin and turn to Christ. Whoremongers. It's interesting. Satan always attacks what God has created and made perfect. God established the family, He established the husband and wife, He established a relationship where there's to be one man for one woman, and out of that relationship will be coming children, that'll be the fruit of that relationship, and you pass on to those children an understanding of the God that created you, and that's what the plan was from the beginning. That's why He had Adam and Eve, and they were one. Today, that's under attack in all kinds of forms and fashions. And I don't want to go into all of it. You know what they are. Whoremongering. Attacking that which God has created as sacred. And sorcerers. Sorcerers are not only a cult, but the word sorcery really is the same root word for sorcery that it is for pharmakia and drugs. I want you to understand the greatest problem that we've got right now in our world. One of the greatest problems is drugs, both illegal and legal. Sorcerers, those who promote it. You've got pharmaceutical companies right now that know know these drugs won't do anything for COVID, won't prevent it from you, but they can make a lot of money by getting you fearful, not believing in God, not trusting in the Lord, and they can cause you to start lining up to take shot after shot after shot after shot until finally you're dead because of fear. And they're motivated by power and money. Sorcerers. There's a direct tie between the occult and drugs. Especially mind-altering drugs. People take mind-altering drugs, and part of the reason is they have these great experiences and they have all these things that they're told to, that by entities of all these wonderful things. Dave Hunt wrote two books. We don't have them here. He wrote two novels. Everything else he wrote were true and dealt with issues. But he wrote two novels. He was going to write four. But the two novels he wrote dealt with the whole concept of the paranormal, drugs, sorcery, and the occult, and how it was being used by the U.S. military and the Russian military to have so that you could communicate telepathically, so that you could see and have visions, and so that you could have these entities direct your paths. And the whole theme of these two novels is people who get caught up in it and then are escaping from it. And he point in the theme of the novels is that the only solution is God. And Sanctuary of the Chosen, and the other one is can't remember right offhand. But as you read these novels, one day Dave Hunt got a knock on his door, and it was the CIA. And they're wondering, where did you get your information for these books? He said, well, I read my Bible, and I look what's happening in the world, and I read newspaper headlines, and I see what men are doing, and the Bible talks about sorcery, drugs, witchcraft, being used to make men supposedly smarter. And they said, how did you know that this is what the U.S. government is involved with? And this was back in the 80s. And they were already doing this before then. Sorcery. It's no wonder that America is under attack spiritually right now. And the world is being oppressed completely right now. Because we've opened ourselves up to sorcery and drugs from those that are in the highest forms of leadership in our nation. There are leaders from around the world that gather, and they gather to determine what they're going to do to control the nations. And there's different groups, the Bilderbergers, Council on Foreign Relations, Club of Rome. Guess what they all are involved with? Or not all, probably not. Some of them are probably there innocently that don't know what they're doing, but especially with the Council on Foreign Relations, you can get some people there that are... But a lot of them do, especially when you get into the Bilderbergers and the Club of Rome and some of the higher organizations. They're occultic in nature, satanic in seeking direction. And you've got many of the past presidents of the United States that had ties to all of that. You've got leadership in our country that's got ties to all of that. And we wonder why we're suffering the way we are. Because they're going to end up in the lake of fire unless they repent and turn to Christ. Idolaters and liars. If you don't think that this is a spiritual battle that we're involved with and it's not a virus, look at these last two. Idolaters and liars. Liars. Have you ever heard so much lying in your life as you've heard the last 2 years? This is the world we live in. And Satan is making his last push, just like the Scripture said, just like it said in Revelation. He knows his days are short. He's going to try his one last effort to usurp God and His authority and His position and destroy God's people. And the sad thing is, most Christians don't take the time to read their Bibles and are not walking in courage, but are walking in fear. And when they walk in fear, it begins to open them up to all these other areas which lead people straight to the lake of fire and eternal judgment. Not to Christ. And the sad thing is, many churches today do not want to preach about the need to share the gospel and to call people to repentance, but instead encourage people to be fearful, to give in to a world system, to trust the world instead of Christ. We had the privilege of getting a hold of some books that spoke of some Christians that were in Russia when the communists took over and under the communist regime. The amazing thing is the faith of these men and women. Even though it cost them oftentimes a lot, some of them their lives. Some of you were able to see the movie about the life of Sabrina, the wife of the founder of Voices for the Martyr, and saw the choices they had to make under Nazi Germany. And later on, the choices they had to make in Romania, which are brought out further in a movie about her husband, where it talks about all of that. This is a sobering message, but it's one that I wanted to bring because the first part of this is our hope. The first part of this chapter is our hope. We're not facing the lake of fire. We're facing the new heavens and the new earth. I want you to understand, they, and my daughter used to say, "Dad, who is they?" They think they've got you under their arms and under their control, and they can press you down, and they can control you. But I want you to see here, who's in control? God's in control. Who has the power? Who has the authority? It says that He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And in that new heaven and new earth, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's your eyes, my eyes. Will we remember all the wickedness that happened? No, I don't believe so, because He's going to wipe away the tears. There's not going to be tears there. There'll be no more sorrow. We've all had sorrow in our lives. We've all experienced a world that is wicked and evil, and it brings sorrow and it causes pain. God's going to remove it all for those who trust in Him. For there'll be no more sorrow. And there'll be no more death. There'll be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And then everything in the last verse is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Never again to even come into our presence as we are in the presence of Jesus. We celebrate the Lord's birth, but do we celebrate the life that the Lord gave to us because He came into this world when He didn't have to? He went to a cross that He didn't have to go to. He died a physical death to pay the penalty for all of our sin, which He didn't have to do, and He rose again from the dead. And He ascended into heaven and He told His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you that He could come again and take us unto Himself. And the ultimate place will be when we tabernacle with the Lord forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And when we get into the description of that in the next few weeks, it's unbelievable. It's beyond description what it's going to be like. As wicked as these people are, that's how beautiful God is in the opposite way, in the opposite direction. As evil as Satan is, God is more than loving in the other direction. So why do we want to trust in this world? Why do we want to allow them to manipulate and control us, make us fearful, cause us to do things we wouldn't normally do? May we look to Jesus and trust in Him, and may we seek Him as the one who can deliver us. We prayed for a lady who's dying this morning, who doesn't know Christ, and I don't know if she's ever even heard the gospel. And I know she has no hope. The only hope she can have is if somebody halfway around the world will go and talk to her about Jesus. But we don't have to go halfway around the world. All we got to do is walk out this door, and there's people out there. They're controlled by all these people that live and do these wicked and despicable things. And they're led to believe that's the way you've got to live. And we've got the message of hope and deliverance to give to them. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to understand the importance of being used by You to share the gospel message. And Father, help us to understand we do not have to be discouraged, but rather we should be encouraged. Because one day there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And former things will pass away, and behold, all things will be new. Lord, every one of us here has one thing in common, that one day we'll all die. Die physically. But we have eternal life if we trust in You. And Lord, our hope is You, not a world that's going to be judged for all the wickedness that it contains. This we ask that You would help us to walk in Your power and Your might. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 553. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden bears? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Lord, I pray that you just help us to walk closer to you every day. Lord, may our trust and hope rest in you. May we be encouraged and may we be filled with boldness and courage and not fear. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to go forth and show forth your love, your grace, and your mercy to a world that needs to hear that message. For they're on a road that's leading straight to the lake of fire. And Lord, they need to hear how they can be delivered and set free, that they can enjoy the new heavens and the new earth. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.